everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the new format of Life of Kartik. I'm going to be walking you guys through a couple of new journeys, but we're going to change up the format. I was always worried about making these podcasts too long, so I kept them short, but I think making them long is going to be beneficial, and I think you can always go faster through the podcast if you just listen to these at 1.5 times the speed. So the new format is going to include part one, which is just going to talk about my story revolving the topic. And then part two is going to be a guest interview where the guest will talk about the topic. And they either may be inexperienced in the topic or maybe experts in the topic based on how we're going to do the topic of that week. But I hope you enjoy the new format. Thanks for listening. I remember back in the mid-2000s, I was a young 13-year-old kid, and I was so excited to get my first email address. And I remember making my first email on yahoo.com with a username that is now quite embarrassing, and just signing up for things like newsletters, ads, coupons, because I wanted to get messages in my inbox to fill it up so I felt like an adult. It was about a few months after doing that I realized my inbox just became this giant mess. It became unruly. And that was my first foray into email addresses and how to clean up my email. So fast forward a few years, and I've had a decade of not only decluttering my email, but also my text messages, my calendar invites, my to-do lists, and mostly what I like to call the digital workspace. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the best ways that I've found over the years to help manage all of these pieces. So how many of you have been in the situation where it might be the middle of the week and you've got 200 emails that are just either read or unread in your inbox? You're trying to find an email from Monday or last week and you're just scrolling down and it's really difficult to find. You type into your search box in Outlook or Gmail and you're not finding the results, but you swear like this is something that you had to follow up on, but it's just lost now in the clutter of hundreds of emails and messages that are cluttering your inbox. This is the situation that I had early on in my career, and I really wanted to avoid being in the situation because it just made me unproductive, it made it really hard to follow up on things, and overall it just caused a lot of frustration. So I've created a process to deal with emails as soon as they get into my inbox. And one of the first things I do is I layer what comes in my inbox. I add rules and filters, and I think this is common practice for a lot of people, but I add them to things that don't require follow-ups. These are things like newsletters, maybe dashboard updates, pieces that don't require me to follow up with, but will be great to look back on or read over when I do get time for it. One example of this in my personal inbox is the New York Times newsletters. These aren't things I read on the daily. When I get time, maybe 2 or 3 days later, I'll go through and I'll read these newsletters. But there's something where it avoids the inbox, it avoids me getting a notification about it, and it goes immediately into a folder where I can then follow up with it when I do get time later on in that week. So what about the things that are important? How do you deal with those? The first thing, obviously, is you read the contents, and if you can respond to it immediately, respond to it. And then when they reply back, you can at least follow up on it because it'll come up in your inbox again. If you can't respond to it, what you do is two things. You make sure you star the email and then you add it to your to-do list. When you add it to your to-do list, make sure you add a follow-up date and time so that you make sure you respond back to that email if you still haven't heard the response yet. If it requires no action, archive it. Get it out of your inbox. You don't need that clutter there. It's just gonna slow you down when you're looking for things that you actually do need to follow up on. And sometimes your filters may not work and you'll get junk in your email. Make sure you scroll down to the bottom of that email and in the highlighted fine print, you'll probably see a button that says unsubscribe. Make sure you unsubscribe from that email listserv and then mark it as junk. And then this helps your inbox just get decluttered overnight. And overall, if you can keep this practice of making sure that you either respond to something, add it to a to-do list, or archive it, or unsubscribe, you're going to be able to get a clean inbox. And by the end of the week on a Friday, you'll feel really great when you have a clean inbox with no unread messages, or just messages that you know you need to follow up on, and you just have a better handle on your inbox overall. So one of the core tenets to my digital life is using the calendar. Now, before I started using a calendar, I used to just try to remember things in my head. And I remember at one point I would just forget to meet up with somebody because, you know, I just forgot about it. Things were slipping through the cracks. So I decided to start putting everything in the calendar. And when I say I put everything, things like going to do laundry, to the gym, need to buy dog food, doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, birthdays, everything went in the calendar. And I found two things come out as a result of this. My mind is a lot more decluttered. I'm able to have more confidence in my calendar. I know if I have to do something, I have a habit of putting it immediately into my calendar. And I make sure I use all of the features in the calendar. I make sure I add invitees if it's a dinner, or if I'm meeting up with friends, or if I'm hosting people over at my place. I make sure I send a calendar invite to people. I use the location features on it. And there's benefits to using these functions as well in a calendar, because when you start using smart assistants, they can give you advice like, hey, there's a traffic jam when you're going to this location. You may want to leave 5 minutes ahead of time. And that's actually saved me in a lot of situations where I might have been 5 or 10 minutes late, but instead I'm able to go on time to a meeting. These are huge benefactors to using a calendar, and I think one of the hardest parts about a calendar is not really utilizing the technology, but being diligent about putting in everything into the calendar. And you'll realize when you start getting to building this habit that your mind will just be a lot less cluttered, and you can trust when you open your calendar that you know what your day is going to look like. There's a lot of benefits to using it, and I would 100% recommend getting really diligent about creating calendar invites. SMS messages, iMessages, Facebook messages, WhatsApp messages, Signal, Telegram, Instagram DMs, Snapchats. We get a lot of these messages all the time. But how do you keep track of everything, and what do you decide is dutiful of a notification on your phone, and what do you keep hidden? Those are really personal questions that you have to ask. But for me, in my example, I make sure that I prioritize things like text messages that come through my phone, WhatsApp messages, Telegram, or Signal. I treat them all the same. When it comes to social media messages, I tend to tier those out. So I have a lot of group chats on Instagram DMs, or I'll have people message me through Instagram DMs. If I am mutual friends with that person, I make sure that I get a notification for that so that I could respond in a timely way. But if I'm not, I make sure I mute that and I respond to it when I'm on the app or I have time. There are some apps that I don't use as often, like Snapchat, so I disable notifications completely on a chat app like that. And Facebook, I've completely deleted. The only time I even look at those Facebook messages is when I get on the desktop browser. But overall, I'd say that text messages are the primary contact point that I have for most of my friends. And the way that I keep track of everything that I have to follow up on is, like most people, keeping the message unread. And I oddly just don't use read receipts, mainly because I feel if you do read something accidentally with a read receipt, you just have that urgency to respond. But I think not responding to a message right away is okay, especially in the text message world. And if you keep that need to not respond, it helps you focus a lot more on the deep work that you have in front of you. We use our phones daily, and they're the primary device that lets us see our email, our calendar, and our messages. Now, how many of you can go to your home screen of the phone and see the badge notifications for each of your apps? I'm sure some of the listeners of this podcast could probably point to some apps that have maybe a couple of notifications, some maybe having hundreds, 50, I've even seen 1,000 on one of these app icons. Batch notifications are one of the key components to keeping my digital life organized. And for me, I use a batch notification kind of like a reminder. So the first thing that I do is I make sure I disable notifications, period, for anything that does not have to do with communication, whether that's texting, phone calls, or emails. I very minutely change my notifications for social media, so things like Instagram direct messages are only notifications when they're coming from people that I know. And I make sure that I combine my practices for having a clean inbox with getting notifications only for my primary email inbox and not just the things that come into the folders and get filtered out. By going through these healthy practices of cleaning up your email, your calendar, and messages, you're starting the journey of being able to clean up your phone. You can use batch notifications effectively and basically set a goal for yourself, like I do, which is to have zero batch notifications by the end of the day. Think of these when you're sitting in your bed at night and you're about to go to sleep. You can just go through your phone, and then whenever you see a batch notification, you know it's just something to follow up on. And then if you can follow up on it, now's a great time to do it. Otherwise, just wait till the next day. And for me, I try to hit zero notifications by the end of the day, but I don't hit it all the time. But at least setting that goal gives me something to strive towards when it comes to reminding me to close out emails, to make sure I respond to messages by the time that the day is done. And that's a huge piece of making sure that my phone is clean. Using this practice will not only reduce the number of notifications that you get on your phone, it also just reduces the amount of times that you get the phone screen flashed on you on your desk and you just reach for it and look at it. It allows you to do more deep work. And I think really the key to doing all of these things, whether it's email, calendar, messages, cleaning up your phone, is to be able to focus on other things, not just the notifications that can be so distracting throughout the day. We live in an age with many different devices that we access every day. We have our phones, we have our laptops, tablets, and even smartwatches. All of these devices have the ability to integrate some sort of calendar functionality, some to-do list functionality, and email functionality into their native systems. One of the key pieces to having a healthy digital lifestyle is using the cloud as much as possible. For example, I use Google Calendar personally, and one of my previous jobs also used a Google Calendar. My personal OS was Mac, iOS, I'd use Windows, and all three of them I would integrate the Google Calendar into the native OS so that regardless of the device that I'm on, my calendar is up to date, and I'm able to check everything that I have from both work and personal in one place. This helps me at least keep track of what I have to do for the day, and it's an easy way to remind myself when I may have a meeting coming up or if I have something that I need to do. One of the biggest pieces in my life that is the holy grail for being productive, and I'm sure many people have used these in the past, are to-do lists. To-do lists are one of the most important functions that I look for when it comes to any platform, and this is something that I am willing to invest some money into. Now, it doesn't matter what specific app you want to use. I think more so it is getting into the habit of putting things into a to-do list that's more important than the actual app itself. Over time, as you build your practice, you'll know what functions are more useful to you, and based on that, you can find an app. But really the key is just make sure you find something that can sync up. If you can use a to-do list on a Microsoft Office OS, you can sync it up with your iPad, you can sync it up with your MacBook, with your Windows PC. If you're using any App Store app for a to-do list, make sure that it's able to sync up with any of your OSs. The key is having that to-do list in all the places that you would want to reference it. And also it's easy to look at. One of the pieces of a to-do list that a lot of people don't do, but I think is necessary, is whenever you put a task in, big or small, make sure you set a due date. And that helps you at least follow up with something, even if it doesn't really require you to set a due date. It's something to just remind yourself that you need to look into this particular task. And put everything into the to-do list, both big things and small things into your to-do list. The more granular you become about what goes into that list, the better that list is going to be for you when you want to reference something. And split up lists into functional uses. For example, I have a list for work, and then I make a sub-list under the work category where I have tasks for particular projects I'm working on. Then I have personal lists where I have finance, friends, hobbies, anything that I can think of that needs some sort of organization, I throw into a to-do list. Big and small, working out, finding new ways to work out, taking my dog to the vet, I always try to put that into the to-do list and set a due date when I put it in. This is one of the best ways that you can do to just start your digital cleanup and make sure that you feel a lot more organized. The key is really making sure that you are working the calendar and the calendar is not working you. At the end of the day, we have so many options to use email, calendar, messages, and so much for our phones and ecosystems. But really, it doesn't matter what you use for all of that. Building the best practices for these takes a lot of patience and persistence and a lot of practice and failing. I can't explain how many times that I've set up email filters only to still be bombarded by hundreds of emails. The goal is that this is a constant refining process. You're never going to do this once and just leave it alone and stop doing it. You've got to constantly go keep making the filters. Make this part of your habit. Start unsubscribing from lists that you don't need anymore. Start asking yourself, is this an email that I really need to keep getting in my inbox? If not, push it away, make a rule, take it out. Start putting in calendar invites. Make sure that you're consistent and persistent about doing this. Find out what works for you. You may not need to put the things that I put into my calendar, but the goal is you want to make it as easy for yourself to put these calendar invites into to-do lists, to be able to respond to messages and to emails. And the thing that I found that helps all of this stuff is just making sure it's all synced in as many devices around me as possible. And as long as that's the case, whether it's on my iPad, on my phone, on my MacBook, I'm able to go in and respond to anything on my calendar, my messages, my invites, my email, and it's just very simple. And keeping that kind of lifestyle makes that pileup of messages and emails go away. And on top of that, keeping tabs on yourself and keeping yourself accountable to these notifications gets a lot easier when you start to disallow a lot of the noisy notifications that you get from apps and also the junk that you get from emails. Be persistent and take away the obstacles that are stopping you from cleaning up your digital workspace. And once you do, it's gonna feel really great to walk away on a Friday with an empty to-do list, an empty inbox, and a clean conscience for the weekend. Hope you guys enjoyed the first part of this podcast. For the first part of this podcast, I talked a lot about how I was organized in my digital life. For the second part, I thought it'd be better to interview somebody who was so on the opposite end of the spectrum, where he has about 1,000 emails that are unread, 50 calls that are missed, a bunch of messages that are unread, and just notifications on his phone that drove me insane. Serge Patel is one of my friends, but he's not great at digital organization, and he'll be the first person to tell you that. So I thought it'd be a great time to just talk to him, see what hurdles he's had to go to get organized, what issues he runs into now, and what he could do better in the future. Hey everybody, and welcome back. I have Suraj Patel on the line, and Suraj has been struggling with organizing his digital life And hey Serge, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
Actually, my Siri just went off. All right. So basically, I guess I want to have a conversation with you. You've told me in the past that you've had issues organizing your digital life. So what have been the biggest hurdles that you've had to come over to try to get organized? What have you been running into? What are the roadblocks?
Yeah, so if you would have asked me this question maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I probably would have gave you a different answer. Back then, and maybe this had to do with sort of my new job, but I was very organized with email, text. I knew what I had to respond to, this, that. My inbox was always clean. I couldn't have my phone with any notifications. I was that type of person. And then somehow, over the last 4 to 5 years, I've become that person that has 100 missed calls on my phone, or 50 unread text messages. My inbox is just a mess. And so I don't know how I got there, but when I look back on it, I realized that my digital life is very unorganized. And I still get to what I need to get to, but it's become a lot harder. And I think my biggest issue is that I'm so far deep into being unorganized. I'm so far deep into unread texts, emails, phone calls that I'm procrastinating putting it off because it's a little
Yeah.
overwhelming. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I don't really know how to get out of it.
No, and that is a situation that a lot of people, including myself, have been in. I remember coming back from vacation a few years ago to work, and there were 1,500 unread emails in my inbox. And this is before I started organizing my messages, but that feeling, that overwhelming feeling of having that many things to catch up on and just read through, just also is a hurdle to get over. So I want to just follow up on that. So what are the things that prevent you from starting to read things as they come in? Why can't you just go into your email and read them immediately, or go into text messages and respond to them?
I think for me, sometimes, whether it's an email or a text, I'll see it, I'll acknowledge it, and then I'll go back to what I was originally working on. And a lot of times I will forget to follow up with whatever email or text I glanced at. And that is probably a fault on my part for not having some type of way to separate, like, hey, I saw this email, I acknowledged it. Now, where do I put it so I follow up with it without forgetting? All my email is in one folder. I don't really have it organized, or my text, or if I read it sometimes, I'll forget that I haven't responded. So I feel like that's kind of where I'm at right now. I don't really have like a, with whatever incoming messages they are, I don't really separate them. I kind of just read them and move on. And then if I respond to them, I respond to them.
Yeah, and I think that's a big piece here. I mentioned in the earlier part of this podcast when I was going through the way that I organize pieces, I break them down into text messages, emails, calendar invites, and phone calls. But effectively, I think part of the reason that you end up missing them is because you forget to have a reminder to respond back to them.
Right.
One thing I recommend with text messages is always mark them unread. And I go through and make sure that I respond to unread messages by a certain amount of time. But I think that's one piece there that is just a habit that you have to build, where you just leave a message as unread. You see the message. If it's urgent, obviously you'd respond back. But in the scenario of just as a reminder, you want to make sure that it's unread. So when you go back through your phone at night, you can just quickly, send a response back to whoever texted you.
Right, but there's no way, and I don't know if there is a way of doing this. Once you open a message, and I'm using an iPhone, once I open a message, I can't read it and then mark it as unread, right?
That would be a great feature. So if anybody is listening to this working at Apple, please add that feature into iOS. We would love that. So yeah, you're right. I mean, currently there is no way to do that. And it's just a habit that I've built over time. And I think it just takes a bit of practice to just not immediately read a message until it's responded to.
So
Another
you won't open up a message until you're ready to respond to it. You'll just read it from your notifications tab and then you'll see if you don't need, if you're not going to respond right away, you'll just leave it unread. So that way at the end of the day or whenever you catch up on your phone, you'll see all the unread messages and reply.
Yep, that's exactly right. So I do not read any text messages until I'm ready to respond to them, because you know that badge notification thing that you see on your icons, mm-hmm. like that little red dot with the number?
Right.
So I mentioned this earlier, but I use that as a way to remind myself about things I need to do or respond to apps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think part of that is, do you have a lot of apps on your phone that use that badge notification and just get
it's
crazy?
It's mainly phone calls, text, email, and calendar.
All right, that's good and bad. That's good that you don't have so many messages and other apps that are giving you an issue with giving you notifications that you don't need. I think the notifications that you're getting are coming from sources that are correct. So one of the things that I do is just kind of keep tabs on myself is I make sure that I have zero badge notifications by the end of the day. And obviously that's a hard thing to do, but take it one step at a time. So part of that is keeping text messages on read. It keeps that badge notification on that corner.
It keeps you honest and on what you have left.
Like, you remember like how people would tie a string to the finger back in the day just to remember something?
Yeah.
That's the way I treat badge notifications.
Okay.
So I guess for text messages, either iOS comes out with a solution to mark things as unread or flag text messages, but you can always do that in, you can always like try to force the habit in as well. What about email? I've known that you just said that you get a ton of emails. What's prevented you from doing things like creating rules and creating filters?
I've just never done that. And to my for a lot of my emails, I would almost say maybe 60% of my emails, 70% of my emails that I get, I don't need to read. I'm on just a bunch of groups of different distribution lists of emails that I'm copied on, and a lot of them I don't need. So I'm sure I could create rules and set things for those ones that I don't need that either go directly to the trash or that they go directly to a folder. But I think over time, I've just never done that. And now, like I said, I'm in this spot where I get a bunch of emails from a bunch of different places where I can acknowledge, like, it's good to that I see them just in case, but I don't need them 99% of the time, but those have just been mixed in with my regular emails, and I just never took time to make those rules. And so now I have so many different emails coming in. I'm just like, at this point, it just seems like a pain in the ass to do it again or to set all these rules up that I don't. But I'm sure if I did, it would be a little bit easier.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. So one of the things I do with emails, and I think there's a couple of pieces here that I want to add in. So with rules, most people are familiar with creating very simple rules in email services. Say if it's coming from a@xyz.com, filter it to my XYZ folder.
Right.
That's kind of the basic tenet of rules. You can get a lot more advanced with rules. There's this concept of wildcards and also looking for keywords and subjects. So a lot of the emails that we get at work, they're usually automated emails that come from a bot, or they could be coming from a distribution list.
Right, same. And that's a lot of those emails that I get.
Yeah, and there's usually a subject line in there that's very consistent. You can create rules that actually pinpoint those subject lines, not just like email addresses. And you can use these wildcard characters in order to help better filter out the rules and create better rules to organize the way your emails come into your inbox. This way, it does two things. It's just less clutter in your main inbox, and it helps you to just go through with the things that actually matter and allow you to respond to it.
Right. No, that's a good point.
And once you add those rules and filters, that's just kind of the first layer. And honest to God, like, the rules and filters piece is just an ongoing battle. You're just going to constantly have to keep adding rules and filters, especially for things like work emails, because, you know, you're going to get added to more distribution lists. You're going to get added to to more newsletters and things like that. And it's just a, like, I think I add a rule at least once or twice.
Have you ever set up a rule that made you miss an email that burned you?
Yes.
And how do you
avoid
that?
That is the downside. I think if it's important enough, it eventually bubbles back up to a point where you realize, oh man, I gotta really go back and change that rule. It's happened, unfortunately, to me once or twice. So now I'm a bit more cognizant about just making less of those catch-all rules, and I'm a bit more strategic about the rules. And if I'm signed up for a new distribution list, I do my due diligence. I ask somebody, hey, is this the list I need to be on? What is this for? And then I find out, you know, how important is it? If it's important, I'll let it come into my inbox. But if it's not, I add the rule for it. So yeah. I think it's a bit of a, you know, like you, that's kind of subjective to based on the situation. But, you know, filters are just one layer of it. That's just one firewall for your first inbox. The second process is you've got to take what you have in your inbox and get a process that works for you. For me, you know, I either get an email into my inbox. There's a formula I kind of follow. I read it, and if I can respond to it, I'll immediately respond to it. And if I can't respond to it, I'll do two things. I'll add it to my to-do list, and I'll star the email. If it's just an email as like an FYI that gets sent to me about maybe an announcement in my neighborhood HOA, or, you know, it's like a, hey, we need to clean the fridge on Friday because the food is getting thrown out kind of email, that stuff doesn't require an action. So I just read it and I archive it.
Okay.
So it just gets sent out of my inbox. And obviously if it's junk, and I think junk mail sometimes sneaks in past the filters, on the bottom of the email where it's junk, you can actually see like an unsubscribe button most of the time. I make sure that I click that unsubscribe button and get my email out of that distro. And I also report that subscriber as spam for my personal inbox. Happens less before, but that's
and I think that's good, because like if you do it right away, as soon as you get it, if you get the email, I guess, and then you take it through that step-by-step process, you'll know exactly what to do. I guess my issue is I see the email, I acknowledge it, and then I move on with whatever else I was doing. I don't really put it into these different categories to hold myself accountable to respond or to delete it. And over time, that's how I've just ended up with this one big cluster of inbox that I can tolerate now, but I'm sure my life would be a lot easier if it was a bit more organized.
Yeah, and I think the one thing I'd recommend there is just add your stuff to a to-do list when you get it in the inbox. When you're opening it up and you it's something you have to respond to, but you don't have the information to respond to it right now, just throw it into a to-do list. So we talked about your emails and your text messages. So for calendars, I put everything into a calendar. Even when I'm working out or I'm going to go grocery shopping or I need to do laundry, it goes into the calendar, and it just helps me organize my day and at least plan ahead. And it's cool to kind of look back at it too. So I'm assuming you're the kind of person that doesn't do that.
Yeah, that's right. My calendar is really only filled up with work meetings. I don't really use a calendar for most personal stuff. I kind of just have always been like, oh, okay, on this date I have this, or like Sunday I'm doing laundry, or next weekend I have to attend this. And I don't know how I've gotten by this far without putting in a calendar. And I've come to learn like putting in the calendar is a nice reminder, and I do that now for certain things. But for most of my personal stuff, I really don't add a new calendar. So I've really just been looking at work email or work meetings on my calendar.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Is doing more in your personal calendar something that you want to do?
I think that would be helpful, because it would help me budget my time a little bit better. I would know in advance like what my week looks like, what my weekend looks like, versus right now it's just kind of just, oh, hey, this weekend I'm doing these three things. But I'm sure if I took the time to put it in my calendar, block off time, it would help me. But I've just become, and I've never really took this approach, I'm just really lazy in doing that.
Yeah, and I think this is something that I do differently than most people, but you know, everyone can do it their own way and do what works for them. So for me, I kind of combine my calendar, my email, and my to-do list all together. So if I'm getting an email and I can't respond to it, I mentioned one of the steps that I do is I will add it to my to-do list. But on top of that, one of the other things I do is when I add anything to my to-do list, I make sure that I add a due date. Even if it's something that doesn't require a due date, I make sure I add it into the list because it's a way for me to be accountable to myself to follow up on it. So,
and does that get added to your calendar when you add a due date to your to-do list?
Yeah, and I try to sync up those things as much as I can, okay. Right? So like if then I look at my calendar, I can see here are the things that I have due today. Here are the calendar invites that I have. How can I fit this in to make sure this gets done? And then I can find time to budget to be able to do those tasks. And sometimes these are 5-minute, 10-minute tasks, but sometimes these are larger tasks that I might have to dedicate time towards.
So what's like, you put everything in your calendar. Do you put things that would take 10 minutes, example, checking the mail or, you know, doing something cleaning the bathroom? Would you put something like that on your
calendar? Cleaning the bathroom, maybe. And I'll tell you why I do that. And that's really just more of a me problem, but sometimes I will forget to do it for a couple of weeks. And then it gets to a point where it's so bad that I end up cleaning the bathroom. So to not get myself to that point and be more of an adult, I just put it in my calendar. So I know, it's been at least a week. I need to clean my bathroom again. Right.
Exactly.
So that's the reason I may do something like that, but something like checking the mail, you know, I do that by habit every day. I don't really need to put that in. Right. I'm not going to put in take the subway to work or
brush my teeth.
Yeah, like those are daily things. The things I'm talking about are things that, you know, you may have a routine for, like working out, but you may not necessarily do every day, or you may I may work out differently every day. Maybe I want to do like upper body on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Tuesday and Thursday I want to do like lower body. So those are the things I try to put in the calendar and block off. So they're kind of like mental reminders for me. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things though that motivates demotivates a lot of people is the fact that it's really annoying to create calendar invites or just to add things to, you know, a to-do list or a calendar invite. Is that something that you've run into?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, the times I do add personal things to my calendar, it's always like, all right, calendar, add the invite, add the time, address, whatever. Yeah, it is. Maybe it is annoying adding stuff to your calendars, which is why I probably don't do it as often as I want or should.
Yeah, and I think that's another key piece. I've mentioned three things here, right? I said I go to my email, I add things to my to-do list, and then that gets synced to my calendar. There's a lot of things going on there, and I think that to any normal person is just a lot to keep track of, especially for just small mundane tasks. So one of the things that I do to make that easier on me is I try to automate a lot of these tasks, or at least use pieces in the same ecosystem. So for example, I'll use the Google G Suite for my personal email, and then I'll add in my Google Calendar as part of that. So I can add in an email into my to-do list for Google, and then that can link to my calendar in Google and have everything kind of in one universe. That way I can hit one button and create what I need to do, set the due date, set the reminder, be done with it, and then it's gone. I think making your workflow simpler for you is really the key to success. It's not really the tools that you use or what's out there. You could use Google, you could use Apple, you could use Microsoft products. It doesn't matter. I think you need to find something that just makes it easier on yourself to be able to put in something and reference something really easily. You know, like I think everyone can agree, like data is a big source of revenue in today's world. It's something that has been called the new oil, and that applies to your own life. The information that you hold in your life helps make your life easier and helps automate your own life. Mm-hmm. So if you know, I've been trying to schedule this podcast call with you for a couple of weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think having a calendar invite helps you to judge, hey, I have you know, 8 p.m. open on a Saturday night, or I could do 5 p.m. on a Sunday. And these are ways that you could slot people in, especially when they ask you for favors. It kind of helps out for
exactly. Things
like, you know, I want to go for, I need to help my friend move. He asks you, hey, what days are you free? I think right now your process is probably, you got to check in with your family. You got to check out, hey, are we free that day? Are we doing anything that day? But, you know, if you guys had everything in the calendar, that's just one thing that you could check. It's a source of information for you.
Exactly.
It helps move along the life. You know, it's less people to ask, less doors to knock on, just to double check.
Right.
And I think that's the main reason I do this. It makes life a lot easier at the end of the day, even though it's a lot of legwork in the beginning to set all of this stuff up and then get the routine that works for you. But once you do it, it starts to become like a snowball going down a hill. It just gets bigger and bigger. It gets more momentum. And like, now it's just second nature to me.
Exactly. And I can see that. And I can see the benefit in doing things the way that you've kind of outlined them. But like I had mentioned before, I'm so deep into thousands of emails, missed calls, no rules for things, zero use of calendar. Like where would I even start? Like how would I start to dig myself out of this?
Well, let's start with the first thing that you have. You've got a lot of emails, right?
Yeah.
How many is it? Like 1,000?
400.
Like look little, at your phone right now.
Little less than 400.
Little less than 400. That's better than the last one I saw.
Yeah.
So I think there's kind of two ways I would go about it. One is, it's going to be really annoying for you to sit down and do 400 email messages, especially if they're, you know, this is piled up in your inbox. I would look at the last, you know, few weeks, maybe like the last 2 weeks of emails, and go through them. Because I'm assuming if you haven't replied to something from months ago and no one's contacted you about it again, it's probably not that important, right?
Right.
So you could probably just spend and look at what has come in your inbox in the last 2 weeks and go through them. And then that might take you about half an hour to an hour to just get through. But when you're going through them, do the process, right? Just figure out if this is something you need to follow up on. Have your to-do list ready to go. Add things as follow-ups. Make sure that you put due dates on the to-do list. And then just start knocking them out one by one and just see, you know, is this something I need to follow up on? And then once you get through the 2 weeks, mark all as read, archive everything, keep what you need in your inbox, archive the rest, and then mark everything as read.
Right. And I know it's not going to happen overnight, but like it'll take some time, but I can definitely see the benefit of doing things a certain way. And then I know how I work, and I know what my workflow is like, and I can see if I did start doing things in a certain way, I don't think I could go back. Like, I don't think there's no, if I were to get this kind of organized and get to like a more of a specific to-do list, calendar list, things like that, I don't think I'd be able to go back again to where I was.
Yeah. And I think that's the piece, right? You want to get to a point where you can walk out of work on a Friday with a clean inbox, because it's almost like having a clear conscience. it's just fantastic feeling to have. And I think, you know, getting started with just clearing your inbox, at least with one dedicated 30-minute session of just reading through emails and creating this process. And I'm saying you have to do my process, right? You don't have to add it to a to-do list, but create the process that works for you. At least just have a process that you do.
And I think that having a process helps in whatever you're organizing. It's not even emails, text, calendars. You know, for example, I have a lot of photos on a hard drive. You know, I take a lot of pictures. I have hundreds of files, and they're just into different folders, and I don't really have a method of organizing them or categorizing them or anything. But even kind of simply taking an outline like this, all right, I go out and take a bunch of pictures one day. As soon as I come back, put a reminder, hey, by this time, upload all your pictures, organize them, delete the ones you don't need, move on. So right now I have thousands of pictures sitting in a hard drive that I would have loved to have organized, but they're just not organized at the moment.
Yeah, and I think part of the other reason I love using these calendar tools is it basically helps put a value for your time. you know when you're actually spending 2 hours on something or 3 hours on something, you know how that compares to the rest of your day, because you have some gauge when you're starting to put these things in a calendar.
Yeah.
And I think that really helps in the future, especially like you were talking about, just going out, grabbing photos. Just taking photos, going through, filtering the ones that suck, and, you know, having to edit the ones that you like, and then, you know, you may want to post them to a website. Like, all of that is a process that you go through, and you probably have a process for that already with photos.
Right.
Where you take it, you delete the ones that are bad, you filter the ones that are good, you may edit them in Lightroom or some other editing thing, and then you post them.
Right, right.
That's a process. And I mean, that process is all, you just replace photos with email. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing. You have to hold yourself accountable some way, through some form, because if you don't, then stuff's always going to slip through the cracks.
Exactly. And I think that's really the key takeaway. So, you know, I think, do you feel a bit more confident in getting started with your organization now?
I do, yeah. my voice.
That was a funny crack.
All right, we're going to try it again.
No, that's coming. That's staying in the podcast.
All right, okay. I do feel more confident. Yeah, I think just hearing, because you never really have this conversation with anybody. It's like, hey, how do you, because everyone does what works for them. And obviously, I've done what works for me up until this point, and I know it still works for me, but I think at a certain point it's going to stop and I'm going to miss stuff that I didn't want to miss. But just hearing how you keep things organized, how you hold yourself accountable, I think it's interesting to get a different perspective and say, you know what, if I actually kind of follow to some of these guidelines and not all of them, everyone, it works differently for everyone, but at least put some guidelines in place to have a little bit more of a organization digitally, I think it would definitely help.
Yeah, and I think that's the key piece here. Well, thanks again for your time. I think this was great, and I hope the listeners found this really helpful. I think we're going to follow up with you on a future podcast and see how your organization is doing, because I don't want to let this one slip. I'm going to make sure I put this in my to-do list and have a due date for this.
Awesome. I will definitely keep a mental note of it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for your time, Serge. I will catch you later.
That was our episode today. I hope you guys enjoyed the new format, and I'd love to hear your feedback about it. I know it's still a work in progress, but we're going to make improvements every week that we do a recording. And I'd like to announce also that there is a website up that I've made called lifeofkartik.com. If you go there, you'll see a blog post of this episode and future episodes that we're going to publish. And I'll probably throw in a few other blog posts in there that are going to be helpful little tips or thoughts that I have just randomly posted on there. But thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll catch you later.